Welcome to the session, Visual Studio Online, Application Insights, Get Your Own Application Telemetry Data. My name is Marcel de Vries. I'm working for a company called InfoSupport here in the Netherlands. I'm a trainer consultant. They call me a technology manager. I'm still not aware of what that actually means, but most of my time I spend on software architectures and helping out customers with a lot of application lifecycle management stuff all kinds of different projects. On-premise web applications, Azure applications, you name it, I think I've been involved in those. Besides my day job, I also spend a lot of time at night building training courses at Pluralsight. So I built a training on IntelliTrace. Who of you are already using IntelliTrace in their environments? Only a few, one. Okay. And I've also written a course on test automation with Coded UI. I did a previous session on that. So who of you attended that session? Oh, quite a few. Very nice. Very nice of you to come back. Thank you very much. So if you want to get in contact with me, just send me an email, marcelv@infosupport.com, or connect with me on Twitter @marcelv. And if you have any questions regarding my previous sessions or this session this afternoon, reach out to me and I try to see what I can help you out with. So the agenda for this afternoon is that I would like to do a walkthrough on how do we get application insights for our applications. And it has to do with the context of continuous delivery, continuous learning, and how can we set this up using the Microsoft toolset that we all know and love with Visual Studio, and nowadays Visual Studio Online. What I will do is I will, from that point on, dive into the different capabilities Application Insights has. We will have a look at availability, performance monitoring. We will have a look at usage scenarios, some of the diagnostics that we can do. And, of course, we will wrap it up after the rest of the talk to see what we should have learned, at least, this afternoon. Okay. So, who of you are already doing continuous integration? Okay. A few of you. And who of you are already delivering on a regular cadence to production, let's say, once every quarter? Okay, and who of you are really, really, really agile and deliver, let's say, once a week a new version to production? Ah, wow, quite a few. That's not bad. So what you see is that at this moment, we see a driving force in our industry, which I would like to call Continuous X. And Continuous X has to do with the fact that we see that our teams are more gathered as Scrum teams. We do small iterations. We try to crank out that work as good as possible. And then we would like to push it to production as fast as possible as well. And for that to happen, we need to get some controls in place. We first need to be able to, well, of course, build the software in an efficient way. After we are able to do that, we need to be able to build that continuously, then test that rigorously, at least enough so that we don't have any additional risks to push it to production. And after that, we need to have a mechanism to push it to production. And then the final thing, and that's what we will learn this afternoon, is how can we learn from all of that? How can we learn from what we're doing? How can we learn how our application is performing, what it's doing? And based on that, we'll have a look at what we can do with Application Insights. So we see that our development teams are working using agile methodologies. Those are the driving forces, and let's see how we can additionally enable this for your organization. So people, who of you work with Scrum as a process to build your software today? Okay, most of you are. Okay, who of you are also using the notion of minimal viable products, MVPs? Wow. So the whole idea about using Scrum is that we have our teams do our work in small sprints and in those iterations deliver a set of value propositions that we have for our customer. Now, the thing is that what we see today is that it's great that you can crank out software as fast as we do, but the problem what we have is, are we delivering the right product to our customer? And where you see that the most waste is today is that your business thinks that you need to build something in your website that would be uber cool and every customer would love to use. You spend, let's say, 2, 3, or 4 sprints building it, but do we actually know if the customer is using that feature? And did they actually want that feature? And there are some There are some thoughts around that whole concept. And what the main concept is that we say, well, instead of building the whole feature as requested by our business, let's see how we can make this this feature into a minimal viable product. Meaning that if you would do something like, let's say, for example, I would like to add a button on my website, or I would like to add the ability to, let's say, buy a certain product on my website. Now, what we could do is we could build out a whole feature with a store that we could browse those items and then buy those items, sell or use my credit card, et cetera, to do the whole sales cycle there. But wouldn't it be interesting to see if our customers are really wanting that feature in the first place before we build it out? Now, the whole idea behind a minimal viable product is that we start off with building a first version of that feature, and it might be only providing the link on the web page that they can say, I would like to buy this product. And what you do is the page where you go through after that is a landing page that says, sorry, we're still in construction on this, but at least now we are already measuring in production if there are any customers that would like to have that particular feature. So this is a very simple way of analyzing if the customer or your end user of your application is actually liking the feature and actually using the feature for you to know if you actually need to implement it in a full-fledged version, yes or no. So that's the whole concept behind minimal viable products. So what we try to do is not only build software as fast as possible, but do it more efficient. Only build what our end users actually want in their products. And this is something where we want to help our product owners make those decisions. And for that, we need information from our web applications, from our normal Windows applications, our desktop applications, if features are actually used, if stuff is actually used within your application before you start building additional software around it. Okay? So if you have a look at the continuous delivery elements that we need to make this all happen, is that we need to have in place our continuous build strategy. So we build our software, and when we check stuff in, it will be automatically built on, for example, a build server. We need to continuously test, and people that saw my UI Code UI session now already know how they can, for example, UI test their applications once they come out of the build farm. The other thing that you need to get in place is continuous deployment. You need to have a way of deploying that software to your production or staging environment to learn if your end user or your testers are actually using a particular feature or if the application is actually doing what it's supposed to do. And then continuous learning is the final building block that we need to continue or to close the loop on what we would say the build, measure, learn loop that we would like to get in place. Now, if you take a look at the application lifecycle, we see on the left-hand side the notion of doing sprints. So we have this notion of a product backlog. The product backlog is being groomed by the team and by the product owner. They will define a new set of features, for example, from business requests that come in. In your sprint, you deliver your software. And then once you deliver your software, you need to get it in production some way, somehow. So the whole idea is that we, as a team, build multiple sprints, in multiple sprints, build out our product. Then we deliver that in production. And once we deliver that in production, we would like to be able to monitor what we actually are doing in production. So how is my product performing? Does it do the right stuff? Now, if you take a look at the different product offerings Microsoft has, is that we have this notion of Microsoft Release Manager for Visual Studio, which is new in 2013. And there we can, based on our continuous builds, just deploy to different environments. So we can just set Release Manager up in such a way that we can, based on a build drop, deploy it straight away to production even if you want to. And in the meanwhile, leverage all those tests that you have and all those quality gates that you have, or even do manual intervention there. Now, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow morning, I will do a session fully on Release Manager. Okay, so that's the place where that session should be in the complete cycle. If you take a look at where we are going to talk about this afternoon, is application insights. And that is, imagine that we are able to deploy our software to a production some way, somehow. How can we learn from that software, how it's being utilized, is the performance okay, what is actually used in this application? And that's what we're going to focus on in the next part of this presentation. So if you take a look at building applications, then we have some challenges there. One of the challenges is that you might have an application that's been on its way for a while. Let's say that you've been building that application for, let's say, 5 years or so. Then you have a fairly large code base, and we're not so familiar anymore with the code that we cranked out 3 years ago. So how can we work with that code in such a way that we feel comfortable with making changes and getting feedback on how it actually performs or changes in production? The other thing is that we have now agile methodologies, which for us, we need more information to make good assumptions and good decisions. So that's one of the things that we need to learn, is how do we get that information to make those good decisions? And continuous delivery is becoming the norm. Well, yes, I think that the trend is towards the norm, but there's just a long road to go if you take a look at the different environments that this needs to be done. So 9 out of 10 times, developers just fly out in the blind. Why do they fly out in the blind? They just don't know what's going on with their application. They know that they created the application, they compiled it, they tested it, it's now in production. But how is it doing? What do we know about our application when it's running in production? Do we know if the application is available, yes or no? Do we have a certain service level agreement that we need to comply to? And if so, are we in compliance of that service level agreement, yes or no? What is the performance of my application? What is the performance of specific parts of my application? Because not every user will phone you up and say, well, this performance of this application is not quite what I expected. Most of the time, they just go sit behind their desk and be cranky about the fact that it's a very slow product. And the other thing is my product succeeding? And that's, of course, very important when you do customer-facing applications, customer-facing websites. I ran into a certain case where I wanted to buy a birthday cake online, and the problem that I hit is that only with a Chrome browser I could hit the buy button, and i.e. the buy button was not even there. Now, what happens if you don't have any application insights, no information on the fact that it's pretty strange that we only see orders coming in from Chrome browsers, right? So that should be a trigger for you that could say, well, interesting, what's going on here and why am I losing business? Because my developers had a certain preference that they only use Chrome browsers during development, and therefore we think that everything is okay. So Application Insights is a new product offering from Microsoft. It's part of the Visual Studio Online offering. And what it does, it gives us information about availability of our application, the performance of our application, and usage of our application. And we can also use it, it's not in here, for diagnostics. So if stuff breaks, we can dive in and see what actually happened on the server, and even go, if we use IntelliTrace, for example, as deep as debugging those events as if we were at that point in time. Okay, so Application Insights is there to give you all this information. Now let's have a look at how we can get this into our system. So what I will do for this is I will go to my virtual machine here, and what I've done is I logged on to my Visual Studio Online account. So if I go here to the homepage, you will see that this is my Visual Studio Online account. And what I have here is just Team Foundation Server in the cloud. I got build services in the cloud. I got everything in the cloud that I would like to use just to build applications. But let's assume that you're an enterprise developer and you're not allowed to do everything in the cloud. Am I stuck at this moment? Well, the answer is no. The thing is that you don't need the whole Visual Studio Online experience to make this all happen. The only thing is that all the data that we're going to collect will be published to your VSO account. Okay? There's no way of collecting the data on-premise. So I just want to say that up front before you go and say, wow, cool features, and all of a sudden I cannot use it because it's always published in the cloud. Okay? So this is my Visual Studio Online account, and what I can do here is you can see here that I have this notion of try application insights, and what I've already done is I created a dashboard for my MVZ store application that I have. And you see here that I have a dashboard, and this dashboard is something that I can configure myself. I can get the data from my system, and then based on that, create all those pretty graphs that we're interested in terms of what is going on with my application. Now, the first question is, what do I need to do to add applications to this environment? And for that, we have, of course, a nice introduction video on how this works, but we also have a very small wizard that we're going to walk through. So we can ask ourselves, what is it that we would like to monitor? Do we have, let's say, a desktop application, or do we have a web application that is, for example, accessible from the web or just accessible within your organization? So I could say, well, I'm interested in just monitoring a server component, let's say web services that we have or a web-based application. Now, the next question that you will get is, okay, what type of application is this? And this is pretty strange, right, from a Microsoft audience that we now all of a sudden see, wow, .NET and Java, we can do both. That's interesting. So what they've done is they created this monitoring agent that I can install. I will show you later. And this monitoring agent, we can configure it to collect information from Java-based applications or from .NET-based applications. Now, of course, since I'm mostly working for Microsoft today, I will just pick .NET. And now the next thing that I can do is say, okay, is this application running in Windows Azure or is it just an on-prem server that I have? Well, in my particular case, in the enterprise scenario, I just have an on-premise server. So I'm saying, no, it's not running in Windows Azure. Okay, that's enough. So now it knows enough information on getting us started. So I'm going here to the instructions, and now what I can do is I can go over here and say, well, I need to create an application here. So let's say this is my demo app on stage. Just create it right away. I'm creating the application now, and now what you see is that I can do some stuff, like I can download a configuration file, and I can download and install a Microsoft monitoring agent. Now, this monitoring agent, when I would like to install that, you see that I just get this download over here. I already have it on my machine. And the only thing that you need to do, so this is a Windows server that I'm running, and I can just install the monitoring agent here. It's just nothing more than going through a wizard here. And I've ran this wizard already, but in the wizard pages, the only thing you need to do is you need to provide it with your account key. That means the key that it needs to publish to, so it knows where it needs to publish to. So if you install this, you will see that we have now this notion of a Microsoft monitoring agent and the so-called application performance monitor, the APM agent that's now running on my machine. And this will now collect all kinds of information on this machine. So if this is a web server that is a multi-home web server that hosts, let's say, 10 different websites, I all of a sudden get performance and performance information and usage information about all those 10 websites. Okay, and it's just by clicking a wizard, you get this information right out of the gate. So once I've installed the agent, then I can go back to my portal and say, okay, let's see what I would like to do with this information. And by the way, when you start the agent, you do need a restart of IIS if you're using IIS hosting. But from that moment on, you can already see all kinds of information like diagnostics information. That's information about, let's say, things that you would write to the event log or to trace logs or if there are any exceptions on your application. And we can monitor also stuff like performance. It already knows the performance characteristics that I have for my particular web application. And you see here that I have my web application, my MVC music application. You see that I all of a sudden get picked up quite some load from somewhere. Let's assume that's just from somewhere. And this load now shows me that the number of users that I had and also the performance characteristics of the pages that I've shown. So I can see that most of my pages are very fast, but I can also see a distribution curve over here that some of the pages take longer to actually run. And I can go over here and I can just see right out of the gate the 10 slowest requests that I have in my application. Nothing to do, it's just clicking those wizards and publish it to App Insights, and this is the information you get right out of the gate. You can see the CPU usage, so you could see that with the number of requests that I got here, 140 requests per second, I got a CPU up to, now what was it, 26% on this particular virtual machine. By the way, this is just an Azure-hosted virtual machine. This is the large machine size, and here you can see that I have about 4 CPU cores here running. Okay, so that's the machine that I selected. based on my free subscription. So that's always fun, right? You don't pay anything for this and just have a dev machine right out of the gate. So what I can do here is I can just drill down here and say, well, give me the 10 slowest requests by the pages that I already have. And you can see here that my index page is still the slowest in my application. And I can drill down on these different pages and then see additional information about what's going on there. Okay, I can do some analysis on what's actually happening behind the scenes and why stuff just might be breaking there or taking so much time. It's taking a little bit more time to load, so that's unfortunate. Okay. Did I mention this is a preview? So no, you don't get any guarantees yet. But the whole idea is that I can drill down here further and then can see additional information on that page and what the page is actually doing under the covers. Okay, so you get this diagnostics information, you get performance information, and we can already do something with availability, which I will show later. We have also this notion of streaming data. If you do anything in your application, like just a session start, session end, standard stuff that's going on, let's say you're browsing your application, then you see that these events are coming in. So I can now see if there's any live stuff going on. And you can see now that I have not received any events or anything on my website. But when I would just go here and browse a little bit through this application, I should be able to see all kinds of data streams flowing in here. Okay, I just received one event in the last minute, and you can see here I started a new session, and it will auto refresh for me. Okay. So here I can see that users are hitting my website. I can see which pages are being used, how many times certain pages are hit. And based on that, I can do all kinds of analysis on what's actually going on my machine. One of the things that I find pretty interesting is the notion that I could say, well, oh, by the way, this is my demo app on stage, but I didn't punch in the number anywhere, so that would not have any data. But if I go here and I look at, let's say, number of sessions per day, I can just do drill downs here, see what the activities are. I can even see which environments users are actually coming from. So I can see, let's see here, which operating system is being used. Mighty interesting that somebody with Windows XP is hitting my server, by the way. But that's something different. I can see the browser mix of stuff that's coming along. So I can see a distribution of the browsers that are coming around. Where is the distribution from? So is it all from the UK or North America? And here you see Europe. That's stuff that you can use to segment out all kinds of information on your application. So I haven't done anything, just installed the monitoring agent, and I'm getting all this data right out of the gate. Same for Java applications. And the thing is, you can also do this for Windows Phone applications, Windows Store applications, and just your ordinary desktop application. It's just depending on where the agent is running. The thing is, of course, that server operating systems are mostly used for these server for these agents. And if you take a look at what is supported in terms of operating systems, you will see that as almost always server OSs instead of client OSs. So you could do the same on a Windows 7 box and just monitoring which applications are coming are running on that machine. But that's not a supported scenario. It works, but it's not supported. So based on this information, you might go, okay, well, that's interesting. I already got a lot of information. What do I need to learn about my application? How do I need to get enough data to make real assumptions, get real information out of App Insights? And what I need to do is I need to sit down with my business users. I need to think, okay, what kind of telemetry data could I add to my application? And based on that, get additional insights on what's going on. So finally, you need to come to a conclusion and say, okay, these are the metrics that are interesting for me. So if you take a look at the notion of minimal viable products, one of the important things to note there is that if you work with MVPs, you must define beforehand what is the way that I'm going to measure success on this MVP? Is it, for example, the fact that somebody is clicking the button? Or is it, for example, the fact that somebody can do a referral on that particular thing? So let's say that you have the notion of share this new cool feature and see if somebody is referring that. If you take a look at surveys and customer surveys, one of the most important questions always is, are you willing to refer my company to someone else? Because if that's the case, you're pretty pleased with what the services that you're providing. So that's one of the metrics that you could use and say, well, if we can track, for example, that somebody is sharing that link from that session, I could tie it back and say, well, he's sharing that link. And by the way, we see now multiple users doing that. And based on that, we see referral rates on our website. So if you take a look at the telemetry data, then looking at a normal application that you build, a typical application that you build, you would need about 30 or so different events that you create. And those events then give you insights in the usage of your application. And I will show you later on what the kind of things you should look at. So we can, in Application Insights, define ourselves which events are interested to me. So I just installed the agent, and that was it, right? But I can also use what we call a software development kit, an SDK, and that SDK provides us with additional options. We can all of a sudden say, well, I would like to log a specific event. I would like to log specific data, so I can slice on that data later on and make decisions or make assumptions on that data that comes in. So what the things are that you could do, and by the way, this is what Microsoft is doing a lot themselves with all kinds of applications that you use on a daily basis. You might have seen that if you're using Office, that you're asked for permission to send telemetry data. If you're installing SQL Server, you're most of the time as an administrator being asked, can we share the install experience with telemetry data? And they're using this for quite some years. They call it SQIM data. And that data that they're using is, for example, some of the things that drove decisions on building Windows or getting rid of a start menu, of building a taskbar where you could drag and drop your icons because they saw people constantly rearranging the tiles on their taskbar. And those are the things that you might want to get information on. And based on that, you could define those events yourself. And then based on that, make assumptions or make choices on what you would like to do. So let's have a look at typical events that are interesting when you do analytics on this. So one of the things that's, of course, interesting is when you're doing Windows Phone apps or Windows Store apps, not only the download is interesting, right? You see the download stats already coming from the marketplace. But we would like to know more about, is a user not only installing this application, but are they also actually using the application? Are they starting the application? And if they're starting it, how long are they using this application? Or how long is my attention rate with that particular user? What is the stickiness of my application? Do I suspend? Do I resume? When I have registration, are users actually registering? Or is that a point where they say, well, that's too much work. I'm now not going any further with this particular website. Instead of buying this particular item, I now must create a new account, and again with a new username and password. No, instead of that, I'm just going to browse away and find another website that serves my need. So things like setting changes are very important. If you make changes to settings, then you can learn about the preferences of your users, and you can segment out, for example, and then provide later on a feature where you say, well, when you start my application, are you a man or a female? And based on that, you might already do a lot of the settings that in your application are very common to do. Other things that you, of course, would like to monitor is things like application purchases, so in-app purchases that you have with your store apps. And if you're building a media type application, that makes a lot of sense to do the views. What is viewed, what content is favorited, what content is commented on, etc. And if you're building commercial apps, like my music store application that I created, then of course you would like to know which items are viewed the most, which items are bought the most, which items are placed in the basket but never end up being an order. That's information that you're interested in, and that's what you would like to track using this tool set. Of course, if you do social apps, then all we want is to just gather as much friends as we have. So you would like to have the friends count, and that kind of stuff. So what we can do is, using the SDKs, we can add telemetry and analysis data to our application. The thing is that you could write your own. You could just build that from scratch. Or you could, of course, use something that's already there in the marketplace. Now, one thing is important to state, Microsoft is not the first party that comes with this stuff. Okay, you can buy any of these providers' analytics information. For example, Adobe Omniture is very much used in e-commerce sites, at least to the customers that I work for. You see, Google Analytics, of course, is one of the free tools to do analysis on your website and see what's actually being used. What you see is that Microsoft is now providing a tool set that can be used on any device, as long as it's Windows, of course. And they also are working, that's what I heard lately, working on versions that work with iOS and Android as well. So that means that we can use this as the mechanism to get application information on any application that we're building, be it on the Windows platform or be it on the Microsoft platform. So if you take a look at SDKs and how they work, most of the time it's the same flow, it's the same way of making that work. You create an account, like we've done with our Visual Studio Online account. What you do is you get a set of keys. Those are the keys that are used for publishing the data to some place on the internet. Then you get the SDK, and based on that, you're going to start do something within your application to initialize the SDK, initialize the telemetry data layer, and based on that, you're going to log events to a backend. And that backend is then being used for analytics. And most of the time, they have all kinds of big data solutions around that to do analytics on the data that you're sending over. One thing that's interesting to mention is that the data that's now being logged, it's being called behind the scenes the Tofino infrastructure. And the Tofino infrastructure is being built by Microsoft in such a way that other parties could tap into that stream. Now, there's one party called Preemptive Solutions, and they're currently building an on-premise version of the data collector. So that means that in several months or so, perhaps half a year, we will have the ability to log those events also to an on-prem store using a third-party tool. Now, of course, we then have the dashboards, and we can fiddle around with them as long as we want to build that out. Now, the question is, how do I log an event that's going on the server? So let's say I'm in an MVC web API, in an MVC application. I'm in my controller, and I'm doing stuff there. I would like to log some additional information. Well, the only thing that you need to do is you need to do one call, and that's serveranalytics.currentrequest.logEvent. And when I'm doing that call, it's just a static method that I can call, it will ensure that it will go off and first store some stuff and queue it up on the server, and then send it out in batches to the actual endpoint on the web. If the endpoint is not available, it will queue it up for a longer period of time and have a checkpointing process to push it up to the service as well. These calls will, in principle, will not fail or not generate any exceptions. They will always gracefully degrade to some thing that will store locally and then push it off to the server. If you're not seeing any telemetry data coming in, then there might be something wrong with, let's say, firewall configurations or other stuff, and we can find that in event log information. Now, one of the things that you see is that when I say log event, there are two things that I'm passing along. I'm passing along the location of what I'm interested in, so that would be a path within your application, a certain page or a certain part of your application that you're interested in. And I'm passing it in a property back, and that property back is a dictionary of string and objects. Now, what I can do here is I can define as many string value pairs, so name value pairs, as I want, and can push it up to a server at once, and that would be data that I can slice on later. So when I'm doing my MVC music site, I could say, well, I would like to add, let's say, information on what item is being placed in my shopping basket, and I could say, well, this is the ID of the item, and this is the number of items that I have in my shopping basket at that point in time. Okay, I can also provide one numeric value, and that numeric value will then be used as being high and low watermarks that you can see in your diagnostics monitor. Now, on the server side, we can also do timed events. So we can here do some performance analytics. We can say, well, I would like to, on my current request, start a timed event. I give that a name. And based on that, I can say, well, if something is going on, I might cancel that timer. Or I can say, well, timed event.end, and that will send the timing information of that particular event to the event stream. Okay, now I can do on my server or in my dashboard, I can do analytics and see, interesting, I see that my page loads are doing this, and I see that this particular part of my application is taking a long time to actually process. You could do that, for example, also with long-running operations and see if there are peak values that you need to work with or get rid of to get a better user experience. Now, it's all interesting that we can do this on the server side. We can also do this on the client side. So if we are building HTML applications, what I need to do is I need to inject a little piece of JavaScript that we'll show you later. And from that point on, there's this object called App Insights. And on App Insights, I can now call log event, and I can pass it in the same data that I just did on the server side. So you see more like a feature parity on that part. I cannot do timed events in the client. Okay, so there are no timer-based stuff in there. It's just logging events I'm interested in. If I would like to do an explicit markation of viewing a particular page, I can just use appinsights.logpageview, and with that, I'm logging a particular entry that I'm using that page, and that page is currently viewed by the end user on his machine. Okay, so that's the way you add additional information, telemetry data, in your event streams. Now, the fun thing is that this SDK is also available for Windows Phone, and you can use that as well if you want to get Windows Phone applications or Xamarin-based applications use this telemetry data as well. So let me show you how we can do this. And what I will do first is I will show you one thing first, and that's how can I get Visual Studio integration with App Insights. And for that, I'm going to Tools, Extensions, and here you see that I have Application Insights Tools for Visual Studio. If you search for that online, you will find this package. If you install this package, you get all kinds of nice integrations with the Visual Studio IDE. One of the things is that I could start a new web application here, for example. When I create a new project, and I go to web, and I would like to do an ASP.NET web, you see already that there is now integration over here, add application insights to the project. I'm going to mark that one out first. Just click on my MVC app. I don't want to publish to Azure at the moment. And what will happen is that I will get additional options to at a later stage. So if you have any ASP.NET web application laying around in your corporation, you can just right-click here and say add application insight telemetry to the project. It will say, okay, interesting, which account would you like to use? You might have different VSO accounts that you would like to publish to. So, well, no, that's okay. I'm fine with that. Are we going to move that to web application 3? Yeah, sure, why not? And then say add application insights. It will add all the references for me. It will inject in the start page already the startup of the JavaScript part so that App Insights is initialized there as well. So I see now application insights config, and here you get options to go to the dashboards straight away. If I go to my views over here, to home, to shared, to my layout page, if all is okay, it's not here, why it's not there. Okay. Well, the whole idea is that we can add the startup piece of code as well to get application insights running each time we hit a page. Okay, so when I go back to the portal, I'm going to this portal over here. You can ask App Insights when you add an application that you would like to publish this to So this is not a server component, it's a website, and now it knows what we need to do. And here you can see that when I give it a name, it will generate the copy-paste code that I can just inject in my index.html. Based on that, it will just start or kick off all the work that needs to be done to initialize App Insights in your browser. So if I go back to my MVC Music Store application, what I've done is I just right-clicked on this and added telemetry information. And what I've done as well is in my views on index.html, you see here that I'm logging the page views now. Okay, so when I go to shared layout, you can see here that I'm initializing App Insights. Okay, so that's the only thing that I added to the standard layout of my my pages. And every time a page gets rendered, I get this piece of JavaScript here that gets initialized, and it will send over the data to this particular bucket of where the data can be found in App Insights. So what I've done is I've done a few things. I explicitly log now that I'm doing a page view on shopping cart, which might be something that you're interested in. One of the things that I also can do is say, well, I'm interested when somebody goes to the login page, so I'm using the document ready function to log this call as well. And one of the things that I also done is at the store controller, so this is on the server side, I said, well, I would like to create an event, and this event is that I'm browsing in a certain particular category, since the store controller gets a genre, which is a category in French, I think, get that in. And based on that, I'm logging that data. So now I'm all of a sudden learning what my customers are clicking most. Are they clicking certain categories at a certain time? Or are they favoriting certain categories that I would like to learn from? Otherwise, I need to go to my database and list out all the products that I have. And I still cannot know if it's in multiple categories where it came from. So what's the favorite group that we have? And we might do promotions around that later on. So here you see that I'm just logging the event. I'm saying that it's music store browse. I'm providing it the properties, and I'm only providing it the property genre, so the data that comes in my call here. Now, one of the other things that I found interesting is that I have this notion of a shopping cart. And in this shopping cart, if you go here to the web page, in my shopping cart, I have this option here, remove from cart. Now, what's interesting for me as an end or as the product owner is, are people stuffing stuff in there and then removing it all the time? Because that might be something that's wrong in my website, or there might be something that I need to do to convince them or give them promotions or some way of doing the upsell here. So what I would like to do is when somebody removes something from the cart, I would like to log that event and make sure that that data is being captured as well. Interesting, by the way, that it's not working anymore. I can remove it, so that's good. So what I've done for that is I hooked into that particular part. So what happens is when I click on the remove link, you see that I have this notion of getting the data attribute of that item that I'm removing. And if I'm removing, I'm just removing it from a cart just by calling this controller. And what will happen is when the data is or when the function to the server is done, I'm going to do fade in, fade out of the particular item from my shopping basket. And now I'm going to log here, log event, remove item from basket, and I'm interested in which item is being removed from the basket. So I can see perhaps that people think, interesting, this particular album is always removed because it might be too expensive or something like that. Okay. So this is now additional data that's in my website. And when I go here to my App Insights portal, I should be able to go to usage. And when I go to usage, I can then have a look at those specific events that I'm interested in. Okay, so here you can see the sessions that the user has. I can see unique users, the sessions as well. And here on events, those are the events that I'm logging. So this is just additional data that I'm pushing to the server. And if I have a look here, I can see now that there's already some telemetry from ASP.NET, session start and session stop events. And here you see my remove item from basket. So now I can see remove item from basket over here. And when I go here, I can see the details out of that particular item. And because I don't have numeric values set here, you won't see here an upper limit or a lower limit, but that can be like a bandwidth within stuff happening. So lower threshold, higher thresholds. You might, for example, log here. When do removes happen? Do they only happen when people have a certain amount of items in their basket? And that might be an interesting data point that you would like to have. Okay, so here you can see my specific event that I was interested in. So here you see item, and here you see the items that I have. So here you see these are the IDs of the products that actually got removed from the basket. Okay, and I can then drill down into that, filter that out, and then do mix and match of that data. So this is the way that you add additional feature usage. And this way, I get additional information on what my application is doing. So the other thing is under diagnostics, you already saw that I had this event stream. And in this event stream, let me see here, the event stream data. When I look here, you can now see that I have this music store browse with my particular data item here. Okay, so this is specific data that I'm interested in, and that can be used to make an additional dashboard item or create a graph out of that that I might be interested in. Okay, so that's the way you log additional information. Like I said, App Insights is at the moment in preview mode, so Microsoft is looking for a lot of feedback here. So if there are specific diagrams or slices that you would like to make in the data, just send them that feedback. And they are cranking out every 6 weeks a new version of the portal and all the stuff that's in there. Okay, so that's quite interesting. One last thing to note here is what I've done here is I've used NuGet. And when I go to the NuGet packages, you will see that I installed the Application Insights Telemetry SDK. Okay, there are SDKs for the server side, ASP.NET. There are SDKs for Windows Phone, Windows Store apps, and you can use those SDKs to do the calls to the actual log event or do a timed event. Okay, that's the SDK that you need to make this actually work. Other than that, it's not much involved the process to actually make it work. So that's about creating a dashboard, getting insights information. But there's more stuff that they added just last week that I would like to show as well. Who of you are building web applications at the moment? Keep your hands up. So all the people that do web applications, who of you are also doing load testing on their web applications? Only a few, huh? Okay. That might have to do something with the fact that you need Visual Studio Ultimate for it. But on the other hand, there is a lot of good stuff in there that I would at least would like to show you, especially how that works together with Visual Studio Online and Application Insights. It all comes together there very nicely. So if you take a look at Application Insights, you create your dashboards on availability. So is my site available, yes or no? Do I have the right performance? And am I succeeding in terms of answering the questions on the data points that we just added to the dashboard? Now, that's all nice and interesting to create, but how do I know that I can handle a certain amount of load when I'm launching a particular website? Did I do the right thing, or is just production my test environment? Which is, by the way, the case for many people these days still. So wouldn't it be nice if I could just use something out of the box with a few clicks that could load test my application in such a way that it could mimic end user usage of my website? And one of the interesting things is that Microsoft now provides this notion of cloud-based load testing. Cloud-based load testing comes from Visual Studio Online, meaning that they now, in the cloud, provide you with a whole set of infrastructure where you can just push out new tests, and those tests come to your server, and then we can use all the telemetry data and all the CPU and performance information and tie that together to the load test that we have in place. So one of the issues you have most of the time when you're doing load tests with on-premise testing is that it's very hard to get the performance counter data, to get the actual CPU performance information of your machine. You need to set up a whole lot of network infrastructure. You need to have a whole bunch of firewall exceptions. And what I will show you is that we can use this load testing stuff with application insights together to get this information going. Now, reasons for cloud load testing, I might hope that that's pretty obvious that you just know if your application is going to perform under load or stress. There are, by the way, two ends of the spectrum here. You might want to test if your application is capable of servicing the users that you agreed upon. Or you can do a test where you say, well, I'm stress testing this thing. I just want to know when it breaks. And when it breaks, I want to know what breaks and why it breaks so I can analyze that and based on that, make a better website. And what you can do is for that, we can use what we call web tests. Okay? Now, a web test is nothing more than recording a set of steps, just like you could do with Coded UI or any other recording tool. But in this particular case, a web test is a test that runs on the protocol layer. So what it will do is we'll capture all the HTTP traffic and we'll send that traffic again to repeat or simulating a particular user. Okay. Now, the fun thing is that with VSO, we can run it in the cloud, and we don't have to build our own test rig anymore. We can just say, well, run it in the cloud, and I will show you later how that works. One side benefit of this is that when we're going to create web tests, we can also use those web tests to give me what we call a synthetic monitor. And a synthetic monitor is something that monitors your application's availability. So if you, like I did, created App Insights with just the wizard click and you go and look at the availability, you will see that it will set up more or less like a ping from App Insights that will test if your site is still alive. Do you give a 200 response okay, yes or no? But it's more interesting to know which are the core scenarios for my application that need to be up and running and determine what is actual availability of my application. Is your application available if you show the home page, but every button on the page breaks? And every page after that will throw an exception? Probably not. So what you would like to do is create a scenario-based test, and that scenario can then be pushed into App Insights to run from any data center that Azure is in, and then do availability tests every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes to run a test on your machine and see what availability is. So what I will do is I will use the capabilities that we have. So I will close out the web application 3 here. Don't want to save that. What I would like to do is the following. So what you could do is you could just go here and say, in any particular project that you have, I would like to create a web performance test. And what will happen is it will fire up the browser for me. And then what I can do is I can go to my MVC Music Store application. And you will see that it will start recording. It will start recording everything I do. Okay, so you see now that I'm clicking around and it knows that I'm adding stuff to the cart. I'm going to the disco, ring my bell, add to the cart, classical, I'm inspired. And now I'm going to remove it again. Isn't that cool? So this is a very useful scenario, but now I can see that I can remove items, I have browse items, I can add items. I might even want to add one additional item and then go to the checkout, see if I can check out and actually buy this item so that I know that I'm getting to this page. And on the left-hand side, you see that it recorded all the stuff that I've done. Now, be aware that this is capturing this at protocol layer, okay? So it's just the HTTP request, all the AJAX requests that we're doing is capturing that as well, okay? And we can use that to replay later. So what it now does is creates this test. I will cancel this one because it takes for ages and doesn't add any value in this particular case. And what you see is that this is are the steps that they already defined based on my run. And what I can do next is I can say, well, give that a try and see how that actually performs in the cloud just by running this test scenario. And you see it's running the test, getting the data back. You can see every specific page that it hit. You can see all the data that came back, and you can see the actual results. So you can see the actual result of my logon was actually this page. Okay, and that's the data you can see. And you can also see that you do that with an indirection. So meaning that you always do the 302 server redirect. So that's an indirection call and a new round trip, which you might want to optimize later on. So this is more a scenario that would make sense, right? And I got a 500 server error, which is interesting, by the way. Not sure why that's the case. An unexpected error. That's always cool, right? I never encounter any expected errors, so that's... But okay. So just in this particular case, I will just get... because I would like to use the web test later on. Let me have a look. Did I place it on my desktop also? Web test. No, I did not. So I will run it again, see if I run into the exact same issue. And if not, I need to get rid of that particular item that's failing. Because otherwise, my monitors would fail as well. So you see that the remove from carts are failing at this moment. So just for argument's sake, I'm going to remove these items over here. Now, what's interesting is I can also say that I would like to group things together. Like this is some semantic thing that I'm doing. Like say I can browse for particular items. So that would be something that I could add here. Say I would like to start a transaction, browse site. And I will start with the first request, and I will end just with the details over here. And it will group that together. And the reason I'm doing that is that when I'm going to use this as a synthetic monitor, I can see in which functional part is actually failing my tests when I push this up to the cloud. So I'm going to save this file. I'm going to file save as. And I'm going to put that on my desktop as well. Web test one, just for reference. So the next thing that I would like to do is I would like to create a performance test. So I can create a web performance test over here. And when I do this, no, I don't want to do that. I would like to do a load test, sorry. This is the load test. And here I can select all kinds of stuff. So I can say here, you just recorded this session. Do you want to use the same think times? Or do you want to use a bell curve distribution around the think times that we have? What is the load that you would like to do? Would you like to do 25 users? Or do you would like to do a step load up to 200 users? What is the way you would like to distribute the tests? Is it based on the number of tests or is it based on the number of virtual users? You can make a decision here. Next, you can say, I would like to add some tests here. And here you see that I got a whole bunch of tests over here. And that has to do with the fact that every MS test that I have can be part of a load test. So if you created an MS test that's just generated a proxy to a SOAP call, you can just do the SOAP calls as well if you want to. And that load tests your SOAP endpoint as well. So I'm going to use my web test one. I'm going to add that to the group. And you can make a distribution there. So what you could do for your web application, if you're a store app, you could say, well, I'm browsing the store, just browsing along. And then you could say, well, I have another script that is more like adding an item and actually doing the transaction. So then you could do a distribution and say, well, based on my conversion ratio of, let's say, 10%, I do 10% checkouts, and I do the rest of the stuff is browsing. And based on that, I get a real-life scenario that I'm hitting my server with. Now, the network mix is something that you need to leave alone when you're doing cloud-based testing. And we can then say, well, these are the browsers that we're interested in, and we might want to do a distribution around that as well. So we have a little bit more IE9, perhaps a little bit more Chrome these days, some Firefox I saw in the previous sessions. That's probably it. No IE 5.5 anymore. That's good, right? By the way, there's nothing more than manipulating the browser string that's sending out on the protocol level. Then we don't want to have this counter sets. And then we have the load test duration. You could do a warm-up where you would say, well, I need to first fill my caches of my application and then hit it. But if you're doing an actual more like stress test, you could just hit it right away and see how it will hold up. So when I finish this, I now have a load test, and this load test can now run for a particular period of time. So I can set up, and it will now run for, let's say, run duration is now 10 minutes. Okay. Now, if I do this, and I will just set it to run duration of 1 minute, okay, so we don't have to wait all night here. I'm saving that out, and now I can run this load test. And what will happen is it will initialize the agent on my machine. This machine will be used to go out to the web and hammer that server with a step load of a set of users that we have. And you see all the performance data there. But one of the things that we will run into here is it cannot know the actual CPU and all that data because I'm not on the virtual machine. I don't have a connection. I cannot open up all the performance counter data and all that stuff. And this is where Application Insights comes in as well. What I can do is I could say, well, I would like to get the performance information which I have in App Insights and then tie that to my load test in one particular way. Okay, and well, that's the way it's collecting all the information. You see it's now hammering my server. And if I would go to my virtual machine, which should be a little bit slower now, we should see that we're getting data in, 165 events at this point in time. And I should be able to see some additional metrics on diagnostics or, let's say, performance distributions. See what happens there. Response time versus load time, and we should see a spike of data coming in any second now in this particular dashboard. So we should see that load test hitting our server. Well, most of the time you see it's rather instantaneously, but well, you see it going up a little bit here, so something is happening, which is good. So I'm still... running this load test over here. You see here now the summary that we have. But what I would like to do is I would like to run this in the cloud, because when I need to do this on-prem, I need to create all these agents on different machines, make sure that they connect to a test controller. That test controller connects to a TFS instance to push the data out, and then we could do our analytics. Well, doing that is rather involved. You need to have all the VMs, and you need to have the network connections and everything set up. But if since my website is internet facing, why not make a little change here? And this is one of the most complicated demos I need to do here. That's that I'm going over here and saying, well, I would like to run it in the cloud. Apply. Close. And now my test will run in the cloud. So what I will do is I will make a little change here. And the little change that I'm going to make is that it will run for a longer period of time. So let's say it now will run for 10 minutes or even 1 hour. I'm fine with that because it's not hogging my machine anymore. It's just coming in, and I know that it's about 200 users, so it will not hit 25% or more CPU on my machine. So I'm probably good when I run this demo and don't goof up my machine. So what I can do next is I'm now going to say run. And what will happen is it will now initialize a cloud-based load test. And by the way, I'm connected to my Team Foundation server in the cloud, right? And that's the reason it knows my VSO account. It knows the number of minutes I have in my subscription in terms of virtual users that I'm going to use. And I'm going to spend up virtual users. So you see that this aborted. I'm not sure why. But you can see here that I would be spending 14,000 virtual user minutes off my account that I have in VSO. You can see that there's an error here. Sampling rate is 5 seconds. So I can fix that. Sample rates, I will set it to 10 minutes. And I should be good. Save it. Run it again. You can run multiple if you want to, side by side. It will just queue it to the load test agents in the cloud, and based on that, we get the information back. So we can now wait and see what happens. We can also have a look at the load test tab, and here we see the load test manager, and you can see that I have already a set of tests out here that I've created yesterday evening. Now, one of the things that I need to show you here is that we have this tab over here, application. And this application tab is new in Windows, in Visual Studio 2013 Update 2. And when I right-click over here, I can get the performance data. It will now go to my Visual Studio account. And here you see the applications that I have being monitored in Application Insights. And I can now say I'm interested in my MVC Music Store demo information. And it will now tie up all the telemetry data from my MVC Music Apps App Insights data to the load test that I will actually be performing. Okay. Now, when I do this, and I already done that in my load test here, which completed yesterday night, when you double-click that and wait for a while, there's no UI yet on that you need to wait for this. You can see now it's pulling the performance data from the cloud. So this is the performance characteristics where you can see this was the, we had 200 users. This was the average page times that we had. And we can see a little spike over here that might be interesting for us. So we could make selections on that later. We can see the throughput over here. And we'll pull that data as well. You can see that I have some spikes over here and some dips over here. And I can get to the application information, and this will give me all the CPU and performance data that I have on my server. I can just click to go to App Insights. It will then open the browser within Visual Studio, which is not very convenient, by the way. So I will pop it out. And now I should be able to see all the information related to the load run that I've done there. You can see my spike over here, by the way, of stuff that's happening. You see my exception rates over here. So I can go over to exceptions. I can now have a look at what's going on my machine or what happened in the past on my machine. And I can go over here and have a look at the exception events that actually were happening on my machine. You can see that some Lambda method failed. Okay, well, interesting. Let's double-click that. And now what I can do is I can see additional information that this method failed. It was just a SQL CE timeout. Brilliant, right? Running a commerce server on SQL CE makes a lot of sense. And here we see that I have an issue here, and I can then say, well, I would like to show the complete stack and the parameters. And it will show me all the data on what was actually happening here. So I can see the whole processing pipeline until stuff broke. I can see the parameters that are being passed. And if I want to, I can even download the IntelliTrace. And with the IntelliTrace log file that's going to be downloaded. By the way, I clicked it again, but... Okay. Here you can see that I'm opening up this iTrace file, and I can step into an historical debug session within Visual Studio. And that's the way you can actually see in detail what happened, which parameters came in, what was the data that actually was actual at the moment that stuff broke down. Now, to finalize what I was looking at here is that one of the things we haven't looked at is availability. And the availability is based on the fact that it's doing pings to my server and looking at what's going on and is my server up and running, yes and no. And you can see that I set up this machine somewhere here, what was it, 14th of April. Then my monitoring started, and you can see that I had some outages on my server already. Now, what I can do is I can set up these monitors over here, and I can say, well, this is my first test. This is a very simple ping test that I'm doing. Is the page available, yes or no? And you can see that I had some errors over here. Based on that, I can drill down to the event and see what actually happened and what failed, and was an internal server error in this particular case. And then I can download the web results and get the actual web test again that I already had. Now, the other thing I can do is I can say, well, I would like to add a new multi-step web test. And I would like to hit this server from Singapore, from Sydney, from Paris, from Amsterdam, of course, do something from the U.S., and I would like you to run my test script that I have available here, my web test over here, open it up, and it will upload that test. I need to give it a name, so this is my Tech Days demo monitor. Then I need to, this is an interesting thing here, I need to zoom out a bit so I can get to the OK button. Then you can say, do you want to have alerts? So if you want to annoy anyone in your organization, set the alert email to him. You will get a full email box, that I assure you. I set this up for my blog just to monitor if my blog is still up and running. And I had a little chat with marketing because my blog was more down than up, and we didn't know that beforehand. So we had a little chat with the provider of our blog site as well. And you can just send out your email address here, and it will just send emails when stuff is breaking down. I am going to say okay. What it will do is it will now set up, or it will send out my web test that I recorded, send it out to all these data centers, and what will happen is it will run those web tests every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, it will do a browse across all these steps that I've done to see if the scenario is still working. If it's not working, I get the red X mark. If it's good, I get the green dot. And based on that, I can see the availability of my application and use that as the service level agreement that I would like to validate with my website being up and running, seeing if I'm actually doing any business, yes or no. Okay? And you can see, we will see that later on, that all the data will trickle in here. You can see on a longer time scale if that actually succeeded, yes or no. And if stuff fails, I can get the web test, can see, because when I download the web test, I can exactly see what's going on there because I get the downloaded pages and I can actually see what the end user would have seen if he browsed to my website. Okay, so quite some stuff that's, I think, pretty interesting to not only see some additional inside information on your application, but also see if it's up and running, doing actual load tests, validating if your application is performing well enough, and doing deep dive investigations if stuff is broken. If something fails, I get the iTrace file, I can debug into it. If a web test fails, I can download the web test information, just open it up in Visual Studio and see right in my face what actually went on that particular server at that point in time. So some key takeaways I would say for this session, I hope at least that you learned a little bit about minimal viable products, the way that you set up your backlog to use those minimal viable products and start measuring the actual uses of the MVP. Define your metrics, and based on those metrics, use App Insights, for example, to set up these additional events to monitor what's going on your server. Is somebody actually craving for a specific feature, yes or no? Are people pushing the right buttons on my website that I'm expecting? You can do all kinds of analysis there. And it's all about creating the build, measure, learn loop, which is very important to get in place. In summary, you can add diagnostics, usage information, performance, and availability data using App Insights. You're just using your Visual Studio Online account. If you have MSDN, you get access to Visual Studio Online. You can enable that. And based on that, you get, for example, for the load test that I just showed you, you get 15,000 user hours to run on your servers. Okay, so you can set up load tests like I did just for a couple of hours to see what's going on your server, and it will deduct it from your monthly allocation of users that you have. You can use the monitoring agent just for performance and diagnostics. It's just a simple click wizard install that gives you all the information. I showed you only the .NET stuff, but it's also available for Java environments and Java applications. You can add custom C# or JavaScript statements to your applications to add additional insights that you would like to see and validate. And I sure hope that you guys are going to use some of the load test stuff and see what value you can get out of that, especially with now App Insights being integrated with that. I think that's, it gives you very interesting insights in your application when you're running on the load, and you can exactly see what's going on in your application and even do in-depth analysis when stuff is breaking at the moment that you're running such a load test against your server. With that, I would like to open it for questions for 2.5 minutes. And after that, I would like to thank you all for waiting here. Yeah. Can you collect telemetry data? The question is, to what level do I need to ask a user, an end user, to give permissions on getting telemetry data? What you see is, of course, we have this notion of the cookie stuff here in Europe, which is always interesting. What you see, by the way, is that everybody's now only stating, I'm using cookies, good luck with it. You can't get rid of them anymore, except if you go to the info support portal, of course, then you can still opt out. Our marketing environment is always very enthusiastic about this stuff. So the thing is, we're not collecting any user-specific data. So we're not collecting the fact that it's John or Adam doing something on your website. If you're doing that kind of stuff, you really need to ask permissions because you're creating a real audit trail on that particular login or that particular user, which is doable, by the way. There's nothing in App Insights that will keep you away of logging the end username and adding events to it, even credit card information if you would like to capture it. You can do it. It's just open like that. It's more like a legal question on what I need to do, but I would at least say that if I'm collecting real end user data that's traceable, you need to have consent from the end user. Otherwise, I think you will get some nasty lawyers knocking on your door. Yeah. Other questions? Yes. Yeah, so the question is the data, where is it sent to? And at the moment, that's only your VSO account. And there is this third party that will provide an endpoint on-prem later this year. I have to talk to them, but it's the guys from, I constantly forget their names, but there's a third party that provides that service, and they hook into the Tofino services, and then you can collect the data on-prem, and then you can use Hadoop and other stuff to analyze your data, and they provide additional reports as well. Yeah. Question in the back. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the question is, does it support load balancer scenarios, and can I find out which actual server is failing? And the answer is yes. You install the agents on all the different machines that are in the load balancer. And based on that, it will log the information on which server it's being used. You can also specify in the App Insights object, you can specify which server name it is if you would like to override it. So you can give it names instead of goofy names that get cranked up by building just a VM. Yeah? Okay. Question here?
All the data that's visible on VSO, is it also visible to my team members?
Yeah. So the question is all the data that's now visible in VSO also visible to my other users that are using VSO? Is that the question? Yeah, in the same group. So I have not seen specific rights that you need to set, so I guess it's all open and out there for everybody to monitor. The whole idea is, okay, and that's what they're showing off at Build as well, is that you set up this portal. There's a mode in there, which is do it in a slideshow, and it will show you all the graphs, and then will fade in, fade out, new graphs, so that you can constantly monitor what's going on with your site, your server. And it will also know when you push out a new build, you get additional markers on your timeline, so you can see when you did a new build, a new build drop that's being deployed. So based on that, you can also see that, hey, I see performance degradation with build number that and that. So, but for as far as I know, the whole idea is that the whole team can access the data and view the data. Yes, yes. Okay, with that, I would like to thank you all for coming, and I hope to see you tomorrow at the Release Manager session.